This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Today, we're going to get a chance to visit with Amber Walsh. We're going to record two short podcasts with her. This one will be on tips for leadership. The second one will be on the three private equity trends that she's watching. So if you could listen to either one of them at Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast, thank you very much. Amber, talk to us for a moment. Amber is a partner at McGuire Woods. She's a long-term chair of the healthcare department at the intersection of private equity and healthcare. She's often recognized nationally as a remarkable leader by all kinds of different organizations, and I've had the firsthand chance to watch that. Amber, give us three tips for leaders or three thoughts for leaders.
Sure, Scott. Thank you. And these are all tips that certainly did not come natural to me. These are things that I had to learn kind of the hard way and make some mistakes in these three areas. But they all involve balance. The first tip is to absolutely be the model of the good behavior that you want to see in your organization and on your team. But at the same time, not be afraid to show your humanity, not be afraid to admit your struggles with the things that you are trying to change or influence within your organization. The second tip would be to recognize individualism on the team. Individuality is wonderful. You and I have spoken so much about diversity of thought and diversity of experiences. But at the same time, that individualism has to work consistently with the mission, values, strategy, and goals of the organization and not tip too much towards individualism. And then the last kind of point of balance is finding the right balance between the time that a leader invests in the team members who are struggling but still have great potential versus those who are excelling. Both groups of people deserve your attention as a leader, and the care that you spend with both types of team members definitely will pay dividends for the organization if you don't ignore one group over the other. And I definitely learned that one the hard way.
And so let's talk about a couple of these things and double down a little bit on a couple of these thoughts. This concept of individualism and self-starters, it's in an organization. It's really hitting this perfect synergy where there's a Venn diagram that overlaps, where their individualism also works with the firm's or the department's or the group's goals. It's making sure those things have a good area of overlap. Because individualism for individualism's sake is not itself great. But at the same time, in an organization, you need entrepreneurial self-starters to move organizations forward, people that are really driven and can do things and take leadership and have ideas. But there has to be that synergy, doesn't there, between the individual and the organization?
Absolutely. And there's a really fine balance, but I think it's a very, very achievable balance. And this is something, frankly, that growing up, under your leadership, this is something that I think you did especially well, which was to recognize that an individual at McGuire Woods on our team, but this can be in any organization, could see an opportunity. Maybe it's a particular subsector of healthcare in our case, or maybe it's a particular client target, you know, speaking about law firms, and recognize that, go after it, and not wait for somebody to give permission or not wait to be told it's okay. But at the same time, you've got to have a recognition that it's going to fit within the strategy of the organization, not create conflicts, et cetera. Now, that's in a law firm context, but it's the same idea. I love your Venn diagram analogy that you just used.
No, thank you very much. It's really just fascinating, and I think it's totally correct. You need these self-starters, but you need them to be somewhat in sync with the organization, too. You had also talked about, you know, there are different management theories in this, and we all know there are plenty of people that are sort of slower starters but end up being tremendous leaders, end up being tremendous assets to organizations. And part of the patience as a leader is not dismissing those people too quickly, because those people that are slow starters, as they get their bearings, as they understand, it can be incredibly valuable and actually become the leaders in organizations. But at the same time, there is this theory that you want to spend 80% of your time on your strengths, 80% of your time with your best people that really end up leading the rest of the organization or really end up making the organization go. And in this balance you talk about between time spent on great performers and non-great performers, I think it's such a challenging issue and so important. I mean, it goes to similar issues of, do you spend your time with great clients versus okay clients, or can the okay clients become great clients? I mean, a few more thoughts there, Amber. Any other thoughts on that, this issue of time allocation between great performers and people that aren't performing great?
Absolutely. You know, first, I would say that I was somebody who was a slower starter. And so I have a particular sensitivity for team members like that, where there's a real potential, somebody very bright who's trying hard, but maybe just hasn't quite grasped everything you need them to grasp. It doesn't come as quickly initially to them, but there's real potential there. That's something as a leader that you have to, if you have recognized the potential, the person has the right attitude, a lot of the characteristics that you want, then it's well worth the time. But the way that I learned it the hard way is I was spending far too much time on trying to help nurture that group of people that is so important, and just assuming that the high performers were okay and happy because they were excelling. And that's a real mistake, to just make an assumption that simply because someone is performing well in the organization, that they're happy, content, et cetera, and don't need you as a leader. And it seems like such an obvious concept, but it's something that I think a lot of leaders can have blinders on.
100%. And really, I've always biased towards, I'm going to spend the vast majority of time with the best performers. That much harder to take a C and make them an A, much easier to make, so to help somebody who is really driven and gifted really make a big impact. And then sometimes I've been wrong, because sometimes some of those people that are slow starters end up being just remarkable leaders and people. And Amber, I will tell you, as having been a supervisor to you when you were a young lawyer, you were never in the slow starter category. You were always a winner from the moment that you started. So I wouldn't characterize it that way. You were just always in that category of just a great performer, always were. But the point being, where do you spend time allocated between great performers, not so great performers, and how do you run organizations for organizations is a great question. It's a politically charged question, because if you say to people, we're not going to spend a lot of our time on poor clients and poor performers, there are people that view that as completely wrong in today's world. And then others would say, no, you're going to spend your time and invest your time on those that really want to try and do great. And it leads to all kinds of other political discussions. In any event, Amber Walsh, always a pleasure to speak to you. We'll get a chance to visit with you once more today on trends that you're watching in private equity. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.